Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's show, we'll celebrate the birthdays of Alexander Graham Bell and Frank Munn, fulfill a request, go out in the rain, and listen to this past week in recording history. I received a nice email last week from faithful listener Leah LaBrea, better known to fans of vintage jazz in the Chicago area as the Windy City Songbird. Leah sings and plays banjo and guitar with the West End Jazz Band of Chicago, and you can find out more about Chicago's premier sweet and hot jazz band at their website, www.westendjazzband.com. Anyway, Leah requested to hear Anything I Might Have by Pinky Tomlin. Truman Tomlin was born in Oklahoma on September 9, 1907, and got the nickname Pinky because of his fair complexion. He studied law, music, and geology and is best remembered for the lyrics written with H. Coy Poe to Object of My Affection with music by Harry Tobias. He wrote lyrics to other Tobias tunes including Friendly Arms, I'm in Love, If It Wasn't for the Moon, I'm Just a Country Boy at Heart, You're So Necessary, Let's Dream a While, Love Is All, and many others. He also composed his own songs, among which are The Love Bug Will Bite You, Sweet, I Told Santa Claus to Bring You, and In Old Oklahoma. He moved to Hollywood in 1934 and appeared in a number of Hollywood films in the 30s, including With Love and Kisses, Sing While You're Able, and Swing It, Professor. His autobiography, appropriately titled The Object of My Affection, was published in 1981. He died of a heart attack in North Hollywood, California, on December 12, 1987, at age 80. Here's Pinky Tomlin.
My complexion from white to rosy red. Oh, anytime she holds my hand and tells me that she's mine. There are many girls who can thrill me and some who can chill me, but I'll just hang around. Oh, and keep acting like a clown until she says she's mine. Now I'm not afraid that she'll leave me, not because she's not that kind who takes a dare, but instead I trust her implicitly. She can go where she wants to go, do what she wants to do, and I sure won't care, 'cause the object of my affection can change my complexion from white to rosy red. Oh, anytime she holds my hand and tells me that she's mine, oh my. Leave me now because she's not that kind who takes a dare, but instead I trust her implicitly. She can go where she wants to go, do what she wants to do, and I sure won't care, 'cause the object of my affection can change my complexion from white to rosy red. Oh, anytime that baby holds my hand and tells me that she's mine.
Why don't we get along? Everything I do is wrong. Tell me what's the reason I'm not pleasing you. I may kiss you, but then you say kiss me again. Listen, baby, tell me what's the reason I'm not pleasing you. If you must keep me in doubt, how will I know what to do? You can change me about, but I'll do what you want me to do. Though I try and I try, still I never satisfy. Tell me what's the reason I'm not pleasing you. What's that? Nah, baby, I ain't a man. Oh, so that's why I'm not pleasing you, huh? No, I ain't got no money. Get away from here. Well, that's different. Well, you gonna give me some money? All right, honey, here's where I start pleasing you. Yeah, come on, boy, latch on there.
Curbstone cutie, his mama's pride and beauty. They call him Jelly Bean. He parts his hair in the middle and crushes it down. Scatters his little jelly beans all around town. Now the girls all love him. They think he's a riot, if you know what I mean. He never drinks Bevo beers or light wines. He craves his ice cream, sodas, honey all the time. Now he's a curbstone cutie, his mama's pride and beauty. They call him Jelly Bean, I mean, they call him Jelly Bean. Thank you. Now he's a curbstone cutie, his mama's pride and beauty. They call him Jelly Bean. He parts his hair in the middle and crushes it down, scatters his little jelly beans all around town. Now the girls all love him, they think he's a riot, if you know what I mean. He never drinks Bevo beers or light wines. He craves his ice cream, sodas, honey, all the time. Now he's a curbstone cutie, his mama's pride and beauty. They call him Jelly Bean. I mean, they call him Jelly Bean.
Pinky Tomlin with James Briggs and his orchestra and Jelly Bean, He's a Curbstone Cutie, written by James Dupre, Sam Rosen, and Joe Verges. That was recorded by Brunswick in Los Angeles on January 10, 1935. In early 20s slang, Jelly Bean referred to a young man who went to great lengths to dress very stylishly, but who had little else to recommend him, and the term was also used as a synonym for pimp. Pinky Tomlin also started the set singing his lyric, On the Object of My Affection, recorded with Jimmy Greer and his orchestra on October 5, 1934. James Briggs was reed man in that band. In between the Pinky Tomlin vocals, we heard Fats Waller and his rhythm and What's the Reason I'm Not Pleasin' You, recorded on March 6, 1935. What's the Reason I'm Not Pleasin' You was written by Tomlin, Coy Poe, Carl Hatch, and Jimmy Greer, and was also recorded by Guy Lombardo, the Mills Brothers, Fred Waring, Jimmy Dorsey, Bill Coleman, the Six Swingers, and Benny Goodman. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, March 3rd, marked the birth in 1847 in Edinburgh, Scotland, of inventor and educator Alexander Graham Bell. His father was an expert in vocal physiology and elocution, and his grandfather a professor of elocution. Best known for perfecting the telephone, his career began teaching the deaf to talk by using what he called visible speech, illustrations of the positions of the lips and tongue during speech. In 1871, he began teaching at Sarah Fuller's School for the Deaf in Boston, the first such school in the world. In 1873, he was professor of vocal physiology and speech at Boston University. He conceived the idea of the telephone in 1874, and his experiments led to his patent for the electric speaking telephone on March 7, 1876, the single most valuable patent ever issued. Bell died on August 2, 1922. So here to commemorate Alexander Graham Bell is a terrific set of rapidly rotating records about bells, beginning with the Broadway Bellhops. Thank you.
do? How do you do, Miss Caroline? Certainly do look mighty fine. I got your invitation, there'll be no hesitation. Did you say would be okay to ring your front door bell? Angel eyes, I'm in love with you. You can guess what I'm gonna do when I ring ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling on your front door bell. We will love and we'll kiss and talk, send the folks out to take a walk, when I ring ting-a-ling, ting-a-ling on your front door bell. If you should throw me down when I come around, why, I'll just ring that front door bell till your battery runs down. On my ukulele, dear, strum a tune that you'd like to hear when I ring ting-a-ding-ding-a-ling on the front door bell.
Thank you.
you weren't tapping your toes to that, you might want to check your pulse, because you could be comatose. Ben Burney and his Hotel Roosevelt Orchestra and Bellhoppin' Blues from a Brunswick 78, waxed January 29th, 1926. Before Ben and all the lads, we heard Charles Cayley and his orchestra, with Cayley providing the vocal on Daisy Bell from June 18, 1927, one of just four sessions for Columbia. Cayley was vocalist for the Joe Kaiser Orchestra, a house band at the Crystal Palace Ballroom in Benton Harbor, Michigan, before signing with Abe Lyman's California Ambassador Hotel Orchestra in 1923. He also recorded with Ben Selvin, Don Voorhees, and others until 1928. In 1929, he was vacationing in California and got several film offers. He was still under contract with the Granada Theater in Chicago, but bought out his own contract for $15,000 in order to enter movies. His first film was MGM's Lord Byron of Broadway, in which he sings Should I and A Bundle of Old Love Letters. Charles Cayley was preceded by Al Lentz in his orchestra, with Al performing double duty as vocalist on When I Ring Your Front Doorbell, recorded on July 27, 1927. That's apparently the only recording ever made of that Ted Snyder-Francis Wheeler composition. We began our tribute to Alexander Graham Bell with the Westerners, a Sam Lennon band on the Harmony label, and the Far Away Bells from March 21, 1927. Far Away Bells was composed by Westell Gordon, and although we heard an instrumental version, there are words to the song which were written by Douglas Ferber, who also penned the words to the Lambeth Walk, Limehouse Blues, and the Bells of St. Mary's. Last week, in connection with Nacio Herb Brown's birthday, I played Singin' in the Rain. Well, there are plenty of other things you can do in the rain, and here's Jay Prendergast and the Rialtonians with one of them.
It can rain all day. I ain't got no place to go. It can rain all day. I ain't got no place to go. Because it's cold outside in that ice and snow. If it rained 5 days, that won't give me no blues. If it rained 5 days, that won't give me no blues. I've got my raincoat and hat, umbrella, boots and shoes. Rain, 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 don't rain on me all day. Rain, 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 don't rain on me all day. Cause if I get too wet, I've got to go into the house and stay.
Thank you.
Jack Albin's Hotel Pennsylvania Music as the Aerial Dance Orchestra and I Don't Mind Walking in the Rain, written by Max Rich and Al Hoffman. The vocalist on that July 10, 1930 recording was Bill Cody. Before that, from February 21, 1928, we heard Bessie Smith and her own composition, Standin' in the Rain Blues. We began that In the Rain set with Jay Prendergast and the Rialtonians, who were riding around in the rain in August of 1934. Bandleader John X. Prendergast used just his first initial in the name of his band, and the Rialtonians refers to the Rialto Theater in York, England. I have both volumes of This England's Books of British Bands, but Prendergast isn't listed in either one of them. There's a book called York Cinemas by Mervyn Gould, which reveals what the X in John X. Prendergast stands for, but I don't happen to have that book. Perhaps someone from the British Dance Band mailing list knows, and will pass that information on. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL FM 88.7 Avalon, in New Zealand on Wellsford Radio 107.4 and Warkworth Radio 106.7, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. Last week, February 27th, marked the birth in 1894 in New York City of Frank Munn. Although he enjoyed singing and was a member of a singing group and entered amateur vocal contests, he didn't consider singing as a career until a workplace accident kept him from his regular job for more than a year. He pursued his singing and made some transcription recordings for radio and in late 1924 began recording for the Brunswick label. He also recorded for Edison and Victor and made just two sides for Columbia. In addition to his ballads, love songs, and mother songs, which were popular in the 20s, he provided the vocal chorus for dance bands including those of Bob Herring, Nat Shilkret, Gene Goldcat, and others. He stopped making records in the early 30s, but during the 30s and 40s was heard regularly over the air and became known as the Golden Voice of Radio. He retired in July of 1945 and died on October 1, 1953. Here's Frank Munn.
What a pal, only now I can see how you dreamed and you planned all for me. I never knew what a mother goes through. There's nothing that you didn't do. Thank you.
jumping, so it took my breath away. Here when I met you, I just stood and looked, I couldn't find a word to say. Here when I met you, there was a smile in your eyes I could see. Plainly I read what the answer would be, and a thrill will live forever in my memory. Here when I met you,
judge's speech began. The scene was a crowded courtroom, and the judge was a stern old man. The prisoner before you is a social enemy, a lady of the evening. You know the penalty. Don't let her beauty sway you. Don't mind her ready tears. Don't let her youth mislead you. She's wise beyond her years. Her eyes reflect the red light. Her cheeks are thick with paint. But I knew her mother, gentlemen. Her mother was a saint. Before you render verdict on whatever she has done, remember there's a man to blame. That man may be your son. I plead with you for mercy. The testimony stands. That girl is my own daughter. The case is in your hands.
Those Broadway roses and frivolous sands have too many parties and too many.
times have changed since February 5th, 1928, when Frank Munn recorded Too Many Parties and Too Many Pals, written by Billy Rose, Mort Dixon, and Ray Henderson. Did you recognize the voice giving the recitation? That's right, Ernest Hare, one half of the Happiness Boys. Before that, we heard Frank with Edwin J. McAnally's orchestra and Dear When I Met You from McAnally's last recording session on February 21st, 1929. They had made 8 previous recordings in 2 previous sessions before finally getting this take to be issued by Victor. Dear When I Met You was written by A. Seymour Brown and Albert von Tilzer. We began our tribute to Frank Munn with one of those mother songs, Pal of My Cradle Days, recorded June 22, 1925. Pal of My Cradle Days was written by Marshall Montgomery with music by Al Piantedosi, and I selected that particular song specifically so I could say Piantedosi. It's time now for that feature of the program we call This Week in Recording History. So-called because it's here where we play rapidly rotating records celebrating birthdays having been recorded this past week in years past. Here to start off this edition of This Week in Recording History is Ben Selvin and his orchestra. Thank you.
off in all the springtime. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Trying to find another place to sing out. Cuckoo, cuckoo. You'll go investigating. You know you're fascinating. Your cry so captivating. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Way up in the branches. Go to rest in someone else's nest. You cuckoo, cuckoo. You're just as aggravating as can be. You go a cuckoo in here, a cuckoo in there. Somebody's heart you keep breaking. You remind me of an honest springtime cuckoo.
We began this edition of This Week in Recording History with Ben Selvin and his orchestra, February 26, 1925, and Does My Sweetie Do and How? Does My Sweetie Do and How was written by Sidney Holden, Alex Belledna, and Maceo Pinkard. Alex Belledna was actually Edna Belle Alexander, who was Maceo Pinkard's wife. Next, we heard Ray Sterita and the Piccadilly Revels Band and Cuckoo, written by Leslie Cerrone, Jimmy Campbell, and Reg Connolly. The vocalist on that February 28, 1927 recording was Maurice Elwin. We finished up with Bernie Cummins and his New York Biltmore Hotel Orchestra, Until We Meet Again. Bernie Cummins and brother Walter provided the vocal on that February 27, 1929 Victor recording. Lou Davis wrote the words and Ted Fiorito the music. And I hope we meet again next week. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week and every week for more rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. In the meantime, your comments and requests are always welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. Until next week, this is Glenn Robison, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.